questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn!
Welcome to the studio, Dr. Helen Murray. It's time for another Ready, Steady, Learn. So you specialise in how sense of smell is connected to the brain, and particularly with diseases such as Alzheimer's. So I guess to start off, do you want to tell us a little bit about what sort of work you do?
Yeah, good morning. So the research I'm doing is, looking at the sense of smell and how it relates to disease. And this kind of came about because we learnt that a large proportion of people with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease actually develop a sensory deficit, a loss of sense of smell, or a reduced sense of smell, up to 10 years before they develop sort of the classic memory symptoms in Alzheimer's or the motor symptoms in Parkinson's disease. And so it's quite an interesting potential early marker for us to see, could these diseases sort of be starting, and can we intervene earlier to sort of prevent the brain from actually getting damaged? So that's sort of why we got into this research.
Do we know why people lose their sense of smell when they're developing Alzheimer's or Parkinson's?
We don't know the exact cause, but the really interesting thing about this part of the brain is that it's right above our nose. And the part of your nose, you have these little neurons that detect odours, and they go straight up into the brain, into the olfactory bulb. So there's this really direct pathway between the outside world and the brain through our nose. And so we think that potentially pollutants in the air or pesticides or viruses can access the brain in this way and cause changes that might trigger off these diseases.
Wow. And is this something that is common for all people who are developing diseases such as this, or is it just some people? And do you know why, if it is just some people, do you know why it's only a certain number of people that get affected?
The data tells us from many studies overseas that it can be up to 90% of patients in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. It's not a symptom that people often recognize because it can happen so much earlier than their sort of classical memory or motor symptoms. So sometimes people kind of forget, 10 years ago, my sense of smell started to go. So it can be underreported. But we don't know exactly if there's a certain population of people with the disease that do or don't get it, or how that might happen.
I mean, one of the symptoms of COVID-19 and like lasting effects as well is a loss of smell. Is it related in any way how the two viruses, diseases work?
That's really what our research sort of turned into once COVID kicked off. I had a collaboration with the National Institutes of Health in America, and they got in touch with me and said, we want to have a look at the olfactory bulb and what changes are happening with COVID-19. We don't know exactly why people are losing their sense of smell in this disease, but we think it could be the neurons in the nose. And then we did a study looking at the brains of 19 people who had passed away with COVID, and we found a few changes in the olfactory bulb which could give us some clues as to what's happening. But whether or not that's what's happening in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, it's not quite clear. Mm. It does look a bit different at this stage.
Right, what's the sort of general path for your work as you go forward? Is it continuing looking at the links between COVID-19 and smell? Or?
Yeah, I think we are really interested to kind of follow this. We know from looking at past pandemics like the Spanish influenza pandemic that people who survived the virus had 2 to 3 times greater risk of developing Parkinson's disease. And so we're really interested to sort of follow and see, is the same thing going to happen with COVID-19? And also the changes that we see in the olfactory bulb could give us some indication of what could be happening in just regular flu that we get during our lives and how our olfactory system copes with that.
Do we know why there was a link after the Spanish flu to people who had had it to then developing these diseases later in life?
We really don't. We kind of hypothesize that it's something to do with the virus causing inflammation or changes in the brain tissue, which could trigger off sort of bad processes to happen that would cause degeneration. And then those sort of clumping proteins can spread from the olfactory bulb back into other parts of the brain and cause Parkinson's. That's kind of the hypothesis at the moment.
And then I guess with COVID-19, it's just have to wait and see. Is it too early to know anything like this yet?
Yeah, I think it's too early to know. We have a follow-up study where we're going to look a little bit more in depth at the changes that we saw. We did see some changes with the blood vessels in the olfactory bulb, so they were damaged and a bit leaky. So that really kind of tells us that there are neurological changes that are happening with COVID-19 that we should definitely pay attention to when it comes to treatment and monitoring patients long term. So I think that's really important.
Is it ever frustrating in this line of research where so much of it is just waiting to see what happens? Is that frustrating for you at all?
Yeah, it can be. And the work that we do, we look at tissue and we kind of get a snapshot in time of what happened to this person. And, you know, you instantly have a question of, well, what would have happened afterwards if they hadn't passed away or what happened before this? And so that can be a little bit frustrating.
Is there any way to analyse it with people who were still alive? Or do you have to wait until they've passed away?
Brain imaging these days is incredible. There's incredible MRI scans that you can do that can look at whether or not parts of the brain are shrinking or changing or blood vessels are damaged. So that's something that we could do with living patients to follow them on and see. And I think the National Institutes of Health, my collaborators over there, are kind of looking into doing that sort of work.
Is there a general timeline of how long you have to wait, or is it just taking it as it comes?
Oh, I think we're really taking it as it comes with this study. Our Alzheimer's and Parkinson's research is sort of continuing on, and the COVID-19 work is sort of as tissue becomes available, which unfortunately in America is quite common at the moment.
Mm. Is most of the work happening in America, or is it some of it happening here in Aotearoa?
Most of it is happening in America, so thankfully here we haven't had a lot of people pass away from COVID-19, which is great. So my collaborators are in New York City, so they've had a real frontline response. These are clinicians that are really working with their patients and then talking to people about how they can contribute to research. So most of the work is happening in America, and then thanks to Zoom and email, I'm interpreting the data.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Helen Murray. That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Cool, thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.